Of winters.
May angel wings protect you from carelessness. I like that final line.
Yeah, it's very, very beautiful poetry.
Yes. Very beautiful piece as well. We were talking during the piece that the work is in one long movement, or rather three. It's a
triptych.
Yes.
The poem is set apart as like a tripartite structure. So
right.
Just like one poem after the other, yeah.
And where another composer might have split those into movements, your theory on that is, or you were told.
Yeah, I'll never forget. I mean, we were talking about adages earlier that just stick with you. And one of the things that definitely stuck with me was one time I was working on a piece with Dr. V, and I was like, you know, I really think I need to like have another movement. And he was like, you should never have movements. Movements are an excuse to break form.
Mm-hmm.
And that really kind of stuck with me. Like like a piece should be kind of like Mahler said that a piece should be like a universe.
Right.
Like it should be so self-contained. And I feel like that's kind of the next step, is to just without pause, like the entirety of the piece is like within the music. There's no break.
Right. So even though the three sections might be labeled, they're all attacca.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right. So do the three different sections have titles, or is it just the one?
They're just titled 1, 2, 3.
Uh-huh.
So they're just considered three different parts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Three different attached parts.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an example of your vocal work, which is mm-hmm. very nice. I look forward to hearing. I know that you've got one written for my voice type,
yes,
as well. That is nearing its premiere, I understand.
Yeah, it should be sometime around April, May, I think, I want to say.
Well, I'll definitely come to see it.
Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing the score.
Yeah, I'll send it your way.
So I did not mention any, you know, extensive biographical information at the beginning of this, but I know that you do a lot of work with Symphony No. 1, and your bio on the website there is quite extensive. I mean, you're the co-founder of Symphony No. 1.
Right, yeah.
And then you talked about Charleston College, College of Charleston,
right,
as
mm-hmm.
a place where you had worked before. And it looks like you've done a lot of work in Charleston as well. Can you talk mm-hmm. about that?
Yeah, I mean, growing up in Charleston, I hit it at a really good time where it kind of turned from a not so well-known coastal town to really kind of a booming art center in a way. It really
mm-hmm.
has become, it's really had a really nice renaissance in the past 20 or so years. And I just happened to hit kind of the crux of that wave.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a really wonderful, wonderful experience growing up in that city and kind of seeing it metamorphose into what it is now.
Cool. So you've soloed with as a violinist. You've
mm-hmm.
soloed with
yeah.
the Charleston Symphony Orchestra.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then you were commissioned by them as well. Is that correct?
Yes. I wrote a small string piece for them a few years back. Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Cool. So you got to, so when you were when you worked with Dr. V, you
mm-hmm.
was this when you were in high school or
yeah. Yeah. Oh, no, I was in high school, yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And so did you get in contact with these organizations in Charleston through him, or rather through having worked with him and just sort of gaining a sort of reputation in
mm-hmm.
At the time that you were studying there, was there mm-hmm. a big musical community in Charleston?
Yeah, it was actually really interesting how, like, whenever, like, the right teacher would come along, you know,
mm-hmm.
Which I feel like is something that we all kind of feel like, you know, you always,
right
at the nick of time, like, that teacher that you need comes in and changes everything.
Yeah.
And that was really the case with me in Charleston, because I had been studying violin since I was 6.
Mm-hmm.
There was a new concertmaster who was coming into Charleston. His name was Yuri Becker. And he took me on as a student when I was either 11 or 12. And it was really it was really amazing. Like, he's a phenomenal teacher, phenomenal violinist. And through him, I got into contact with this extracurricular group called Charleston Academy of Music, which is, they're a really fantastic organization. They offer lessons and like music theory classes and like all these different kind of extracurricular, just like music activities for people that are looking to study music, you know?
Right.
And so I was able to get a scholarship there to study with him as my private teacher. And I was able to get ear training and theory. And I did that for 5 years. And
mm-hmm.
then I was talking to my theory teacher there and I was like, you know, is there anything else I can do? And she was like, well, have you thought of composition? And, you know, I had dabbled in it, but I had never really put a lot of thought into it. But when she mentioned that, I was like, you know, like, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
I've got some stuff. And so she was like, well, I'll put you in touch with Dr. V. And I was like, okay, well, I'll see what I can scrounge together. And so I went up to his office and played some recordings of some pieces that I look back on and cringe at. And he took me on as a student, thankfully. And, you know, it's been, I wouldn't say it's been smooth sailing ever since, as any artistic path is, but he definitely, right. it was a big step in the right direction.
Yeah. So why would you say you cringed on those past pieces?
I mean,
aside from having composed them when you were like
15, yeah. 14. Yeah. I think you just, you look back and you're like, you know, like, I'm glad I moved on from this. It was a necessary phase, but I'm glad it was only a phase.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, getting back to Symphony No. 1, there is a new recording out that heavily features your work. Mm. And we talked about Approaching Eternity a little bit. It's a semi-autobiographical piece for chamber orchestra. And now this was commissioned by Symphony No. 1 and Jordan, the conductor, Jordan Smith. And I'm reading the liner notes now. The piece is conceived as one large swath of music with seven distinct sections that flow into each other without pause, as you would do, not being one to compose using movements. Each of these sections is demarcated by a cryptic totem that by some measure relates to a piece of visual art, poetry, literature, or even film that served as a creative impetus for each respective section. Mm-hmm. So what are these pieces of other media, of other media? What are the visual art, poetry that that inspire those different sections?
Well, that's a trade secret, as as we'll say. But there are definitely some that I've talked about openly. There's this one movement gateway that I really saw that really came to me when I was at the Visionary Art Museum down in Federal Hill, actually.
Uh-huh.
And there's a piece there by a piece of visual art there by an artist named Ingo Swan, and it's a piece called Gateway, and it's just this like. It's this like exuberantly kind of surrealist, just like landscape. Mm-hmm. And, it's very calming to look at. It's very just like serene. It's very like all the edges are very smooth. Everything is placed very like proportionately correctly. Like everything's just like very like it just hits that golden mean, you know, of just,
yeah,
like,
where
everything just feels right when you look at it.
It sounds like a piece of art that I would enjoy looking at.
Yeah, it definitely like I looked at it and I was like, you know, I have to respond to this in some way. Like this is just like it's gold. And so that was one of the big influences. There are certain other ones that like, you know, like are a little bit less related to the work at hand. I would say that Gateway is definitely one of the most viscerally related. Like I was definitely responding straight away to that work.
Right.
Whereas other ones kind of came in after the fact in a way.
Right.
Or they were like, another way that I like kind of blurred the lines of like what these pieces of art are is like some of these are like, these are inscriptions like on the pieces of art themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like the, if I'm remembering correctly, the fourth movement, and all being is flaming suffering, which is a scary title for a movement.
Right.
It comes from an inscription on the back of a painting by Franz Marc, who was a German expressionist who was killed during World War I.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a very foreshadowing thing, a very ominous thing that like this artist, this very, very talented artist who unfortunately died in the war, like in one of his last paintings just writes this like very disconcerting expression.
Right.
On the back of his artwork. And so I feel like that's just a very interesting thing to respond to as well.
Well, how about we listen to those two movements? Because this CD is commercially available.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So let's not listen to the whole thing. That would, for one thing, be a long time. And for another thing, we would want to encourage perhaps going out and supporting Symphony No. 1 by getting the CD. And so supporting Nicholas Bentz by paying for his music. So let's listen to Gateway and All Being is Flaming Suffering from Approaching Eternity. This is performed by Symphony No. 1, led by Jordan Randall Smith.
Thank you. Thank you.